Hey, the start of something special right here, man. Let's go.
Number one fantasy player right here.
Got past the line. Shut up. Know the rules.
I just want to say this to you. Right now, best in the game. I know.
Welcome to the Pod After Touchdown Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host for the day, Andrew Mackins. I am joined by my producer, Garnther, and a special guest, the first guest ever on Pod After Touchdown. It is Lauren Carpenter. You may also know her by her Twitter handle, StepmomLauren. She's a contributor of both Fantasy Pros and the Fantasy Footballers websites. On top of that, she has her own website, stepmomlauren.com. Again, the first ever guest of Pod After Touchdown. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited. I get to be your first guest. This is awesome. Thank you for having me so much. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great. We are, you know, barreling into 4th of July weekend, and so I'm super excited for that. Garner, Sam, and I are getting together this weekend with significant others and some other couples. So we're really excited for that, especially, you know, in Illinois, everyone has been doing pretty well in terms of social distancing, so we can have these small get-togethers.
Oh, that's great, because Florida has not.
Yeah.
That's where I am. Yeah, it's great. But I'm still going to have a great time on the 4th of July. I am taking tomorrow off, so I'm on hashtag vacay time right now, and I'm loving it.
Perfect.
Absolutely loving it.
I'd love to hear that. How are you doing, Garner?
I'm doing great. Like you said, I've got tomorrow off as well, so I am just going head first into the weekend here and ready to have a good, relaxing time, see friends, and probably eat too much. I think same. That's definitely going to happen at some point.
same. So we do have a special episode for you guys this week. The first episode of this week. We're doing the first episode of our divisional previews series, which is going to be two episodes per week. We're kicking it off with the NFC South. We've brought Lauren in because her favorite team is the New Orleans Saints. And so we're super excited to have her. And we'll do our kickoff question and mental health minute to kick things off as usual. But before we jump into that, Saints favorite team. I think you were telling us a little bit previously that was a unconventional a gathering of your fandom there.
Yeah, I will jump on this soapbox any opportunity that I have to take it. So thank you for allowing me to say it again. So I am from St. Louis, so I'm a Missouri girl. We are neighbors, my Illinois friends. Well, not anymore. I live in Florida, but whatever. You know what I mean. So I'm from St. Louis, so I'm not one of those really awesome. Actually, the city of St. Louis isn't like this. I say that as an overarching thing, but just go with it. We don't like it when our sports teams leave. It's not like, yay, I'm cheering for you. It's like, no, you just cut my heart out with a spoon and it hurt a lot. No.
Yeah, I can't imagine that.
Done to me.
Losing a team like that. That
hurt. So hard. And you guys know, I mean, you understand, and especially with the Illinois, because Garner, I know you're a Blackhawks guy. You understand that intensity that, you know, St. Louis has with sports. So Rams left. Okay, they went back to LA, although they were originally from Cleveland, but that's neither here nor there. So, I mean, I needed a team to root for because I love football, and New Orleans Saints were right there. And the New Orleans is kind of, I call it the St. Louis sister city, but there's a lot of history between those two cities right on the Mississippi River. We have our own little French area. We have an excellent Mardi Gras inspired from all of the French that actually traveled up the Mississippi River and founded St. Louis. The fleur-de-lis is actually on our flag, the St. Louis flag. And most importantly, their colors are black and gold, which are my Missouri Tigers, of which they are my alma mater. Bachelor of Journalism, I have a BJ. Instead of a BA or a BS, I have a B of J. Yay.
That is awesome.
That's why I'm now a Saints fan. Plus, New Orleans is just one of the greatest cities I think I've ever been to. The French Quarter is unbelievable. I have to go back every year. It's like an addiction. In fact, I'm going back over Halloween and I cannot wait. Crazy happens in that city and I love every minute of it.
That's awesome. I've heard only good things about visiting New Orleans. It's kind of it's like a fun number two to Vegas in terms of that like party aura. And I'm really hoping that once things get kind of back to normal after coronavirus and everything, that I'll have a destination draft there for one of my friends.
Unbelievable. Leagues. You literally have the most majestic St. Louis Cathedral right in the St. Louis Cathedral. There's another one right in the middle of the French Quarter. But then you have like street actors, like, and you know, like street people, performers right outside of this majestic, gorgeous church. And then you walk inside the church and you're entering into a whole new world. There's history left and right. The people there are unbelievable. Not to mention the food. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Houdat Nation, what's up? Let's go.
I love it.
Solid reasons.
Yeah, plenty of reasons to be a Saints fan.
And colors of the team are basically why I'm a Saints fan.
You can't hate on that. You can't hate on that.
Nope.
And so, without further ado, let's kick off this episode.
And this game is underway!
Our kickoff question, I think this is going to be an easy answer for you, Lauren, but since we are covering the NFC South, who is your favorite to win the NFC South in real football terms?
Oh, God. Okay, so this is actually really hard. I love my Saints, and that's kind of obvious. I think the Saints are going to win, hashtag maybe not, probably the Falcons. I don't know. I think it's going to be so close between those two teams. I just love the Falcons this year. I love the addition of Todd Gurley. I love Matt Ryan this year. Oh, it's so difficult to tell. I think it's going to be a nail biter between those two teams. I would not be surprised if the Falcons pull it out, but I'm going to go with the Saints on this one.
No, I have to agree, I think 100% there, where it feels like it should be a coin toss between those two. I want to say like toss the Bucks in consideration because, I mean, again, on paper, they've got a great team, but a lot of the people on that paper are new there. And with this off season, I don't know if they'll click in order to like get the season going on time to compete for that division. But
the Bucks are like the green beans of the division. They're necessary to complete the dinner. But I don't know if they're the winner of the dinner. You know what I mean? See what I'm saying? I did a lot of rhyming there, and I didn't mean to do that.
One might say by the end of the season, you just find out that they stink too. But
that's not very good. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not typically a betting man, but like I think the easy money is on the Saints, like you said, and then Bucks definitely seem to be that dark horse if you're going for like a odds like. High risk, high reward favorite. So I'm there with you guys. But let's move on to our mental health minute. As our listeners might be aware of already, we've started a way to give back through Pod After Touchdown. Sam Garner and myself, we started a GoFundMe page to fund a mental health awareness and support organization. I believe it's a nonprofit organization. And it's just kind of our way of giving back. And then we've also factored in this mental health minute into each of our episodes just to kind of talk through, you know, the grueling mental war that is fantasy football week in and week out. So for this week, and I think this is a question we're going to be asking all our guests going forward, but we're in a crazy time right now and we've talked about it a lot. But for you, Lauren, what's one way that you found super helpful in, you know, keeping your mental health in a good state during quarantine?
So I'm actually pretty lucky. I've been working from home for almost like 8 years now. So this is not new for me being kind of stuck at home. Plus I'm kind of a homebody anyway. My husband and I go out maybe once a month. But everything else that's going on in the world, and it's also just part of my nature as well. I want to be as positive as humanly possible and just spread the love. I know that sounds very cliche, but just saying one tiny positive thing to somebody, it could be one tiny compliment. It could be anything. Just spread the positivity because we can make change in this world off of the smallest, tiniest, itty bittiest little things. And even just looking at something from a positive scope, positive lens, will change your perspective on so many different things. It's the whole idea of glass half full, glass half empty. Mm-hmm. I understand, but that's a lot harder to actually do as it is to say. And so I try to be as positive as I can moving forward. And speaking of which, I will say this again, but on a note of saying something very positive, Garner, I love your hair.
Thank you very much. Fabulous, I appreciate fabulous. That.
And I almost one-upped you, but I forgot to bring my Blues cup.
That's
the Blackhawks cup. But fantastic hair. And Sam, you're an excellent host.
Ah, thank you.
Oh, I got you, Sam. Andrew.
Oh, you caught it yourself. Thank you.
I know. I'm like, wait a minute, because I actually have the email totally that says from Sam.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, wait a minute, but Sam's not on the show. No, that's Andrew.
Right. We're mooching on the Sam corporate.
I will call you
corporate
Sam
Zoom link,
Drew.
But
Sam Drew.
Sam Drew. We make a good pair.
Hoppin. Yeah. Oh, like Mackin and Hoppin. That kind of already goes together. Sam Drew, that's your name now. Sorry. My bad.
Oh, okay.
I make mistakes too. Not a big
deal. Oh, yeah. No, mistakes are always fine. And it's always about, like you said, seeing the positive in it and not getting caught in the negative, because I think it's easy to do that and kind of go down and downwards.
It's a lot harder. It's a lot harder to be nice and it's a lot harder to be positive, but it's so much more rewarding. Same thing with a workout. Workouts are hard.
Yes.
Guess what? You look better and you feel better afterwards. Do the right thing. Be a good person. Be kind. Yeah. Be nice and love. We're all humans. It doesn't matter what we look like. It doesn't matter where we're from. None of that matters. We're all humans in the end of the day.
Love that. All right. So what everyone's been waiting for, NFC South Divisional Preview. A lot of times you might expect we go through this team by team, but we're going to switch it up. We're doing position by position, starting with the quarterbacks. And there are a lot of big name talents in this division. So I'm going to let you kick it off, Lauren. How do you have Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and Matt Ryan ranked for 2020?
So this falls into this conundrum between the Saints and the Falcons. And I can flip flop on this from now until the end of the season when they're already ranked. But I'm going to put Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, Tom Brady. That's how I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm sticking with
that,
it. Matt
that
Ryan.
That sounded painful. That sounded painful for you to admit that.
It's not painful because I love the Falcons. So that's like one thing I don't have is like the division rivalry of Saints. I don't have that yet, because I'm still kind of new to the system. But I recognize talent where there is talent, and I really see Matt Ryan as being a bounce back. Last year, decent, not awesome. Year before that, awesome. Year before that, So this is his year to be like, woo, QB2, let's go, Matt Ryan.
Have you ever seen the charts people have literally just drawn on a whiteboard of Matt Ryan's fantasy points year to year? Because it's like first year in a new offense down, then shoots up second year, then back down, then back up. And I thought with Dirk Cutter being the offensive coordinator again, who he's had before, that maybe it would just click right away. But as we saw, he kind of was on a downswing last year. So I like that you're excited about the Falcons and that passing offense, because what if it does just swing back up with the healthy Calvin Ridley and Todd Gurley, which we'll get to.
It's the run game, I think, that really excels Matt Ryan's opportunity, because it allows so much more creativity in the offense, I think. So I'm just excited for that all the way around. And if I can get Matt Ryan, you know, later in a non-super flex or non-2 QB league, I'm taking Matt Ryan and I'm going to be like, ha ha, watch me go to the plane.
Yeah. With Tom Brady and Drew Brees, those are like the guys that are aging even more than Matt Ryan. I think a lot of times fantasy players don't want to touch them because they might fall off a cliff production wise. Do you still have them around like that fringe QB1 territory despite the age?
I think Tom Brady is going to be more on the fringe of the QB1 simply because this is a drastic change, something that he hasn't done in like 3,000 years. So I'm sarcastic, but this is a brand new change for him. It's a different and worse offensive line. Sorry, Tampa. I still think he has a lot of value. He has a lot. He's going to have a lot of production. And if he finishes as a QB1, I would not be surprised. Top 10 is where I see Drew Brees finishing, probably between maybe 7 or 8 is, I think, his ceiling. Actually, I think 5. I think QB5 is his ceiling. I would not be surprised if that happens. He wants to go out with a bang, just signed a 2-year extension. He wants to show everybody he's ready to get this done. So the only thing that worries me a little bit is Taysom Hill cutting into that production just a hair, but not enough. Not enough. He's too many offensive weapons. Mm-hmm. Too many things going on for him to just make it just explode in fantasy points, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, and I mean, with Drew Brees, I feel like it's kind of same for Tom Brady, but of like the aging, and it's just like for the past, what, like 3-4 years almost. You've been saying, well, he's kind of getting older. Well, he's kind of getting older. And Drew Brees hasn't been outside like a top 10 QB for like almost like 10 years, I think, or something. Like, he's just consistently good. He's not flashy, but he's always good.
Yeah.
And people tend to overlook him because they're like, oh, he's getting old. It's like, you said that 3 years ago and he's still performing.
Keep overlooking. Let him fall way down.
Yeah. You know,
pack him up in like the 9th or 10th, 11th round.
And oh, yeah.
Morons.
You gotta depending, love that.
Depending
gotta
on
love
what.
Love that. Can tell you. Yeah, yeah, of course. Home league, obviously. So we'd be remiss if we overlooked this quarterback. He's a new quarterback for the Panthers. Teddy Bridgewater, obviously coming into a whole new offense, and that team, the Panthers, kind of ended on a sour note last year. But, Lauren, do you think he's worth a deep flyer, particularly in those Superflex or 2QB leagues?
Absolutely. And Teddy Bridgewater is going late. So you can get some tremendous value out of Teddy Bridgewater. I absolutely love him. From a football perspective, I really like his opportunity to have great streamable weeks in fantasy. But I also want to see him succeed just for him. I want him to come in and crush it and be like, hi, yeah, remember me? The world was working against me for so long, and now I have the opportunity to do so. I really, really, really want to see him do well. So I'm hoping that he does, but he's definitely going to be a streamable option in one QB leagues if you do stream that position, and I think he's going to be very valuable in 2QB super flex leagues for sure.
No, definitely agree with you there. And I mean, again, it's tough because you don't know exactly what to expect going in, but I mean, he's shown in the past that he is capable of it, but it's just a new situation. So
did great for the Saints.
Not worth the risk at the moment, but I mean, like you said, depending on how deep you're going in the leagues or super flex, I mean, definitely take a shot at him. Or if you're streaming, then I mean, he's definitely got potential.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm curious if he's still technically eligible for comeback player of the year, but it would be amazing to see hit a comeback story or a comeback season from him after.
There is a narrative that is very palpable when it comes to people wanting to see a player succeed when odds have been against them. And that permeates through their own team, then to the fans, then outside. Like my husband and I went to a Saints game last year. And it was one of Drew Brees' first games back. And when they introduced Teddy Bridgewater, he got a standing ovation from everyone
in
the dome. It was nuts. So like, but that, like, the players respond to that. And he's I don't know if you consider him a veteran at this point. I don't know, because he's done so many things yet been so quietly doing them. That is going to really instill confidence in these players. It's going to instill, okay, this isn't just a rookie who's coming in here and making mistakes. It's fine. We can get it done. I'm fascinated to see what he does this year, and I hope for nothing but the best, because I want him to do well, really well.
Definitely. I'd love to see that, especially for the Panthers offense. But let's move on to running backs. Obviously, we know very well about Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara.
I never heard of this person.
Oh, you know, he might be a bust.
He's a younger guy.
Sure.
He seems decent so far. We'll see.
Those abs, though, just saying.
But this debate, I hope it's not so, like, you know, beaten like a dead horse or anything. But where do you stand on the Ronald Jones, Keyshawn Vaughn debate? Because I've heard both sides of it. Sam is a Keyshawn Vaughn truther. I am standing pat with Ronald Jones, the incumbent, and I'd love to hear your take on this.
There's a couple parts to this. I want nothing to do with the Bucs run game. So I kind of don't have an opinion, because that is just a headache to me that I don't want to deal with. Because what that says to me is one half of the season is going to be one player, the other half of the season is going to be another player, or they pick someone up. And then he's going to ruin everyone else's lives. I have no idea. So I'm staying as far away from that as I humanly can. Second part of that is I generally tend to not rely on rookies in redraft, obviously, not in Dynasty. Excuse me. Bleh, words. I'm really good at using them sometimes. So if someone was like, you have to make a decision right now or you cannot have your Tito's cocktail, then I'd be like, okay, I would probably go Ronald Jones. He's going late. I can get him at a good value, I think. And if he doesn't do well, or let's say he does well for a couple weeks, then I'm okay. I got my value out of him. But if he doesn't do well, I'm not wasting a ton of draft capital. But push comes to shove, I want to stay as far away as I can. I have no opinion, and frankly, I just don't like it.
Yeah, it's crazy. I need to look this up right now since we're talking about it. But I swear that Ronald Jones right now, who I think owns that position going into the season, is probably the better value and probably going later in drafts, which is just wild to me, especially with, like, obviously we've brought it up a few times already, but coronavirus and how that affects the off season. And I can't stop thinking about it, which is, you know, something where I need to be more positive than negative. But I'd love to hear your take on that as well, just in how that impacts rookies in general, just as like a general conversation.
Right. The thing about coronavirus is there's a many, many facets to what this is going to do. For rookies, it sucks because you need reps, you need time to get to know the team, you have to build chemistry with your quarterback. It's so hard. Not only is it just difficult in perfect circumstances going from college to the NFL, that's hard enough as it is. Now you throw this where it's like, I have to Zoom meet you and go talk about routes. Like, that's not ideal at all, which really sucks. But the other part of that too is like, how do we as fantasy players draft? I mean, do we want to take those flyers toward the end of the draft and be like, okay, I will take a shot on this rookie in the 14th round. Why not? Whereas I could be like, okay, well, why don't I get this guy's backup and that guy's backup just in case? And what happens if the entire offensive line gets sick? What are we going to do then? It's crazy to think about. It's almost like too much input, and like my brains are coming out of my ears type of thing. So I really have no idea. For rookies, it's got to be so hard. It's got to be so hard.
Yeah, I can't imagine, especially for like those younger guys, and none of us have experienced something like this before, but we're all adjusting. And like you were saying, with like knowledge coming out of your ears, like, it's enough to analyze rankings and ADP on a normal season, but having that extra factor in is insane. We're probably looking at the same thing with fantasy football calculator ADP to correct myself. It looks like Vaughn's going in the late ninth and Ronald Jones is going in the late seventh. So do with that information what you will. And I'm sure it'll change a lot over the next month.
Oh, yeah. They always
we haven't even heard that many training camp reports yet, because I guess they haven't reported, or there hasn't been a mini camp. But I digress. Let's get to the other running back who I know you love and have written about for Fantasy Pros, Lauren. That's Todd Gurley. Tell us everything we need to know about this second bounce back in his career.
I am so excited about Todd Gurley. There is obviously volume, lots and lots of volume. And as we know in fantasy football, volume is king. He is the unquestioned featured back. And no offense to Brian Hill or Ito Smith, you're not anywhere near Todd Gurley. And I understand there's going to be conversations about his knee. What does his health look like? But he is such a talented pass catcher. And Matt Ryan is a very talented quarterback, that if they're worried about sustainability for him, you know, between the tackles, what's his run game look like? They're just going to line him up as a wide receiver. Why not? Because he can make such a difference in that offense just simply being on the field. I absolutely love it. He has confidence in his own knee. The Falcons have confidence in his knee. They didn't go out and draft a big-time running back. They didn't pick anyone up in free agency for a running back. So I think his volume there just is fantastic. And he's one of those guys that I would not be surprised if he finishes inside the top 10.
Yeah. Go ahead, Garner.
I was going to say, I agree with all very, very good points. And I mean, going back to the whole E.O. Smith and Brian Hill in the backfield with him too. And I mean, Falcons are apparently okay with them as the backups, but it's clear that that's all they're going to be, because we've seen that both of them in the past, and I feel like we haven't seen anything from them. Like, everyone for a while was like, oh, E.O. Smith's going to be great. It's like, oh, he wasn't, but there's Brian Hill now. And wait, he really didn't do much either. So that's pretty much
it. I did get one question after I published that piece with Todd Gurley and two other running backs in it. They were like, well, who are you going to draft if I were to pick one up as a backup? Which one, Ito Smith or Brian Hill? I'm going to take Brian Hill in that situation. I've seen, I feel, maybe it's just me and I'm totally not right in this, but I feel Brian Hill passed the eyeball test better than Ito Smith does. But Ito Smith on paper, like his metrics, his talents look better than Brian Hill, but Brian Hill looked better on the field, if that makes sense. So for me, my handcuff, if that's what you want to call it, my backup for Todd Gurley is going to be Brian Hill. I would not hold it against anyone for taking Ito Smith, though, just to throw that out there. When we're talking about coronavirus and how we're going to, you know, in case Todd Gurley gets sick, who are we going to have?
Definitely. I love that something else you had mentioned, too. If you're a sucker for narratives, like Todd Gurley coming back to Georgia, he's on this one-year prove-it deal.
I love that. We're not going to worry about, we have to save him for next year. They're going to be like, no, go, run.
Exactly.
Harder,
exactly.
Faster, stronger. Let's go, Gurley.
All right, so running backs, we've covered a lot of that there. Anything you want to say about McCaffrey or Kamara before we move forward?
Yes, McCaffrey clearly is a Nordic god from, you know, Asgard. Did you like how I did like some nerdom right there, like pulling that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, always.
Because I'm thinking about Chris Hemsworth, that's why. Anyway, I love you, honey. I'm just kidding. Kamara is going to have a way better year than he had last year. I know a lot of people were disappointed. It has come out recently that he was playing with a litany of injuries. So they did hold him back. He did not get the kind of red zone looks that he was used to. His touchdowns went way down. Red zone looks, I think, went down as well. So do not feel bad or don't be worried about taking Kamara in that first round. Don't feel like you have to take him. He is going to be someone who will help you. Because that Saints offense is going to look so good. It's a very similar situation to what I have with Todd Gurley. And Latavius Murray is still there. That helps his sustainability. And as long as he can stay healthy, he is going to crush it for you.
Awesome. So let's move on to wide receivers and tight ends. And let's start with the Bucs, because I think this is the most interesting duo of the four or of the four different teams. And I'd love to hear from you, Lauren, how will Tom Brady's presence impact Mike Evans and Chris Godwin in this Bruce Arians high-flying offense?
So this is it really going to be Bruce Arians offense? That's what I want to know. Like, come on, who's going to win? This is like Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur all over again.
Oh, God.
Heavier hitters, because it's Tom Brady and Bruce Arians. I love Bruce Arians, by the way. For me personally, with these two players, I think it only makes both of them better. I think they are going to find their role. They're going to find a rhythm as long as Brady can create this rhythm, which he can create like delicious food out of kale. So if he's able to do that, then I think he can make this offense work. I think it makes both of them better. I think Mike Evans is going to have a better year on a week-to-week basis than he did last year. And I think Chris Godwin is only going to get better too, if that's even friggin' possible. He's basically like Julian Edelman, but like younger and maybe faster and not as hurt. They're two stud players. Yeah, I like both of them moving forward. If I had to make a choice on which one I wanted, I would take Chris Godwin. I think Brady's going to have to be throwing the ball a lot faster behind a weaker offensive line. I think he's going to have to find that. And I think he's going to create that chemistry with Chris Godwin a little bit faster than maybe with Mike Evans, which is may take a little bit more time simply because of time in the pocket.
Is that still then even with, because I know Godwin's going like at least it feels like a round earlier than Evans. Now, like Evans just keeps seeming to slip a little bit further as Godwin keeps climbing.
Right.
But even with that, like potentially getting Evans for a round and a half later, you'd still pay for Godwin in that case?
That's a really good question. So if it falls to me that I can get Chris Godwin and it works with my strategy and with my roster construction, I'm not going to force it. So if I already have a stud wide receiver and maybe I'm targeting somebody else in a couple of rounds and I don't necessarily want to waste that pick choosing another wide receiver, then I will wait for Mike Evans going down. It's one of those things, just totally off topic here with this particular question, but always be flexible in your drafts. Like, don't go in there saying, okay, just because I know I'm drafting from this spot, I'm going to stick to this. Be water, be fluid, you know, like harness your inner Bruce Lee and just be as dynamic as what everyone else is doing. But both of these players are going to help you. It just depends on what you are going to need as you're going through your roster. So if he falls to me, and if I think he's going to fall to me, and it works, I'll take him. If I miss him, I'm not going to freak out about it, and I'll take Mike Evans and be super happy.
Yeah, I love hearing that his ADP is going down. If that's true, please, please keep falling, Mike.
Yeah, keep falling. I'll take you in a heartbeat. Doug's ADP like just start to plummet. You're like, yes, mm-hmm. Bring on the narratives. I will promote it and then draft him.
Let's talk about another duo with the Falcons, another veteran who's a bit older than the veteran in Mike Evans, but and then a potential breakout candidate. And we're going to really focus on Calvin Ridley in this conversation, the breakout candidate. He's been great in his first 2 years at Atlanta, but how much do you think that Ridley can break out? How is his ceiling capped, and to what extent with Julio on the field?
I feel like I'm going back to like when I was made, which is in the 80s. And I feel sort of like a yo-yo because I'm either really high on Calvin Ridley and I'm like, yes, he's, and then I soften a little bit. And the reason I've kind of softened on the Calvin Ridley breakout, I think he will do better this year, but I think he may disappoint people because I think there may be too high of expectations from him. And the reason I think that is the addition of Hayden Hurst. I think Calvin Ridley is going to come out of the gate very hot, very fast, and I think he might cool off in the middle of the season once Hayden Hurst kind of comes up. But any wide receiver in that offense, high-flying offense, fast. I love Matt Ryan as well. I told you he's one of those QBs I would be very happy to own. Having a piece of the offense isn't bad. Just temper your expectations and don't expect him to finish as a wide receiver one. But he will finish well, and he's going to score you points. Just hold the horses a minute, shall we? Or hold the birds a minute.
I'm going to follow up with that right away and loop the tight ends in here because you mentioned Hayden Hurst, mm-hmm. and how that can cap Ridley's opportunity. I've seen so much hype on Hayden Hurst at this point, and I do love the opportunity that he's falling into based on what Austin Hooper did in this offense last year. But when I look at his NFL production, Hurst has only had 43 career receptions, and I just see that and think that the sample size might not be large enough to, you know, prove okay, he's definitely going to break out. And the expectation specifically is what I think about there. So in your mind, is Hurst ready to make that leap?
I think so. But it may take a minute. So Hayden Hurst, you know, I talked about the eyeball test with Ito Smith and Brian Hill.
Yeah.
Hayden Hurst, not only did he break my heart as the person who rostered Mark Andrews last year, who I also loved very much when everyone else was kind of like, who is this person? I don't know. I was like, yeah, that's like the one good thing I got right last offseason. Well, maybe not the only one, but it was this one. It was Mark Andrews. But, you know, when you start Mark Andrews and you have someone like Hayden Hurst come in, you watch him play and you're like, dang, he's really good. He's really, really good. So because of coronavirus, because of being on a new team and a new offense, I think it may take him a few weeks to really get his feet under him, if you will. But once he does, man, he's going to hit. He is so athletic. He is so fast. He's so talented. And he's going to be on the field all the time. And that opportunity by itself is, I'll take it, because I think his volume is going to be spectacular. If his ADP keeps rising, it may be something I have to pass on. If I'm, depending on how my roster is constructed, I'm not sure. But he's definitely one of those tight ends that I am very, very excited about. Also, don't forget, too, tight ends are one of those positions where it's like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you know, shame on you, whatever it was, shame on me. And then after three times, you're dead to me. I would not be surprised if Hayden Hurst doesn't do anything for the first 3 weeks. You find him on the waiver wire, scoop him up, put him on your roster, because I really think he's going to hit. And I would be shocked if he did not finish well. Let's just say that.
I was going to ask similar kind of note to that. Like you said about the slow start. So it sounds like then that, again, maybe you don't necessarily have to reach for him because, again, someone's going to hear the hype and overpay for him. And then he's going to, like, not perform to what they're expecting for 2 weeks. And then you can try and more or less, like, lowball him and trade for him because you're like, oh, no, he's not doing good, but I happen to need one. Knowing that he's just taking time to warm up.
Or wrap it into a nice, pretty little bundle package where you take Hayden Hurst off my hands. Yeah. And then you're like, sucker! Woo! Tight end one. What's up?
I like that you brought that up in terms of mid-season strategy, because we haven't been talking about it as much in the off-season. But you hear that with the rookie running backs a lot, like pick them up after they get off to a slow start and they might flourish in the second half of the season, mm-hmm. kind of like what Miles Sanders did last year.
Especially someone like Keyshawn Vaughn is another one. That's why I don't want to deal with them in my draft. I'd rather wait and see what happens between those two and if I can get them cheap in a trade or just right off the waivers.
Yeah, that's great.
Like Miles Sanders, like you said.
So we've buried the lead a bit on the talent in New Orleans, and this is your favorite team. So I want to get to this. Saints with the wide receivers. We all love Michael Thomas, but there's one guy who I think we all think is flying under the radar, and that's Emmanuel Sanders.
Yay!
He's got to be a viable fantasy option, right? I know it's a new team.
I love him.
Year older, but he just flashed in San Francisco once he got traded there.
I love Emmanuel Sanders. I don't know if it's because he's so veteran and so like, I'm a comfortable, awesome, talented like man and I do things well. I don't know what it is about Emmanuel Sanders that I love him so much. And not to say anything sexist for the ladies. I think the same way when it's the ladies as well. But Emmanuel Sanders has that opportunity. Okay, we just did our Scott Fishbowl draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
And did I get Emmanuel Sanders super late? I think it was like the 20th round or something crazy. I don't remember. He went really late.
Wow.
Because he's a bona fide wide receiver too. All of these defenses are going to be shutting down Michael Thomas. So, and then Alvin Kamara. And Emmanuel Sanders is incredibly talented. This man knows what he's doing. He's been on different onsets. This is not his first rodeo. He knows what's going on. You can trust him. And I love that he's going so late. I think he's going to be a value to any fantasy football team. I'm just so excited for fantasy as well as real football, if you can't tell. I'm like sweating. I'm so excited. I just blinded y'all with my really, really
Nah, you're good. It is crazy, though. Every time I think of Emmanuel Sanders on the Saints specifically is every time I think that he's just the missing piece that that team needs on their offense to completely dominate and actually get another Super Bowl appearance.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say that. Oh, twinsies.
No, I think I'm in a similar boat to you, like you were saying before about like when we're just like, all right, fingers crossed to like people falling to you. And mm-hmm. I think he's one where in like a couple mock drafts, and obviously like if I'm doing it against just a computer, like it kind of just falls to wherever it is. But all of a sudden I see I'm picking up someone in the ninth and grab someone like Mike Williams or whatever, who mm-hmm. again, I'm like, all right, I'll take that, solid. And then all of a sudden it gets around. It's like one before me in the 10th and like Sanders went, and I'm like, Wait,
he's still there? I know.
Why was he there? Why did I not scroll down?
He's just hidden at the bottom of the sleeper, like ADP.
Crazy. And also remember, when you're going into your drafts, my friends, have your own like rankings and have that research on guys that you really like, just so you don't forget them. Because sometimes it just helps to look and see, like, wait a minute, what about this guy? I can wait a few more rounds, or, oh, I may need to go and reach and get him now. Just so that tilt doesn't happen, because the draft tilt is real and it is.
Oh yeah. I know.
So real.
Andrew and I have seen that in our league of record, where it'll be a mix of either, again, someone will go out and get someone that they want like two rounds early and piss other people off, or it'll happen again where then someone will get taken and there'll be like someone else a couple turns earlier be like, wait, where was he? I didn't see him on the list.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yeah, no, don't forget. You can scroll through. You can
make
your
own. Yeah, and then they have 2 minutes to figure out who they're actually going to take, because that guy was taken.
Oh, no. And yeah, because then you have to process the fact that that guy you've been looking at all offseason is now gone. And you're like, I don't know how to cope with life right now. What is happening? And then it's like, you have 30 seconds. And you're like, no, the auto pick is real. It's happening. It happens. I've never done that before, clearly.
You know, in relation to Emmanuel Sanders, is who was basically pass catcher number two on the Saints last year, really shined in the second half of the season. That's Jared Cook. I, among many people, are fading him for that reason, like Sanders being on the team, Jared Cook's age, and then just general TD regression. Like his touchdown percentage was off the charts last year. But Lauren, can you tell me, is there anything that I'm missing that would make you want him as like your tight end one on your fantasy roster.
He is a better tight end than most other tight ends. This is so hard. Tight ends are just, I feel like we're finally getting to a point in the NFL where we can talk about tight end talent. And it's not like you have three guys and then go pick from the dumpster. We are finally getting some really good talent in here. I am fading Jared Cook as well, though. With the addition of Emmanuel Sanders, with a healthy Alvin Kamara, with Latavius Murray getting thrown in there as well, I am fading him a little bit. However, last year was weird for the Saints. Two different quarterbacks, weirdness going on. The TD regression, I think, is going to be real for him, but he's still a quality tight end. However, if he falls and falls and falls and falls, then I am totally great with taking him. I don't worry about that. But he's not one of those tight ends that I feel comfortable reaching for. I think there are other tight ends you can target later. You can possibly stream the position depending on how many people are in your league. It is, I think he's going to do well. Maybe not well. I think he's going to do okay. I think he's going to be serviceable.
Yeah. But
if you draft him with this idea that he is going to be top 10, top 12 tight end, you may be disappointed. Just know that going in.
Yeah, I mean, for me, last year it was like, okay, well, the weeks he scores a touchdown, he's going to be great for you. And last year it was like he was scoring literally a touchdown every week, like 6 weeks in a row. So I'm totally with you there. In terms of pass catching options, besides McCaffrey for the Panthers, sorry to the, all the Panthers fans listening, we haven't covered them as much, but I couldn't speak enough. I could not speak enough positively. I couldn't speak positively enough about DJ Moore, but is there anyone else you would take a flyer on?
Yeah, I would take a look, speaking of tight ends, I would take a look at Ian Thomas. And Greg Olsen is gone. Ian Thomas is going to basically the TE1, right? Or am I missing something? I'm pretty sure it's Ian Thomas.
I think it's him.
Yeah, so take a look at him. I think this, is it his second or third year? Now I'm just like, feel like I'm spewing things out of my butt and they're not right. But he's young. I get it. I think he's going to take a huge step forward in that offense. What is better for a new quarterback on a new offense is going to be your tight end. I think he's going to do pretty well. You can get him late. If he doesn't do anything, drop him. Who cares? You didn't waste any money on him. Another one to keep an eye on is Curtis Samuel. I know you can get him really late. He's been very disappointing for people, even though he's a better route runner than DJ Moore is, according to Matt Harmon's reception perception. But he has not had the opportunity to build chemistry with any one quarterback. Either he's hurt or the quarterback's hurt, and it hasn't worked out yet. But he's a very talented wide receiver as well. Again, they're players I would not reach for. So if they fall to you and you're looking at some of your last picks in the draft and you want to just, you know, go for it, feel free to do it, because if they don't hit, drop them. Not a big deal.
Well said. So before we wrap, or as we wrap up this NFC South division preview, we've just got two questions left. What's one player from this division that you'd be targeting for your fantasy rosters, and one player you'll be avoiding at all costs, regardless of value?
Okay. I'm going to target Todd Gurley or anyone. How about that? I mean, there's like... anyone here is, I mean, obviously within reason, of course, but there are so many fantasy points here in this division. It's insane between the Falcons and the Buccaneers and the Saints and the Panthers. They're all there. There's like, it's just like, okay, shake the bag around, pick out a bingo number, and you're like, B6, bingo, yes. I mean, there are so many good things, but one I'm actively targeting is going to be Todd Gurley, because I can really construct a fun roster around him where he's going currently, according to ADP, which is anywhere from like the fourth to the seventh round. It's crazy, depending on if you're standard or PPR. A player I'm avoiding, I don't know.
I won't force you to make a decision here.
How about this? Ronald Jones and Keyshawn Vaughn. I'm avoiding that.
Exactly. Yes.
There's so much going on here. I'm like, which dessert do I want? Okay, that's literally what I'm looking at right now. And I like cake and pie and cookies and chocolate and fruit. As long as it's not hot, I don't like hot fruit. So Keyshawn Vaughn and Ronald Jones are like hot fruit. Like, don't give me cherry pie.
Fruit is not hot. Comparing them to hot fruit, now I don't want to draft them at all. That sounds disgusting. I mean,
like, people love their like peach cobblers and cherry pies. I'm like, hot fruit is gross. It literally makes me think that it's been sitting in my sweltering Florida vehicle for 2 days. And that's and it's gross.
It just like just that word combination sounds gross. Like people don't like the words Paul. People don't like the word moist. I hear hot fruit, and I'm just like, no.
That's literally no, stay away. It's awful. Hot fruit. Yes, well, Keith Urban and Ronald Jones are my hot fruit. That's
We might have to make that a segment on our podcast.
Let's
now.
Do it. I am all in. I'm trying. Thank you very much, Andrew.
I'll be quick on this one. I had mentioned it before. I'm targeting DJ Moore, and I'm going to be avoiding Jared Cook for the reasons we mentioned. But then Garner, I would.
I actually just wrote that in our show notes, like a little bullet point after the avoiding at all costs. I just wrote hot fruit. So yes! We know to keep that in mind.
You succeeded in life.
Who's your hot fruit player of the week here?
Exactly, exactly.
You have to become a thing.
Oh, man. I think my targeting is probably Gurley as well, just because of the value you can get him at. And I'm very confident in him. I mean, I know he, you know, like air quotes around underperformed last year. When I mean, for a second round pick wasn't horrible. And I mean, even if you can get the same thing, which isn't like his max potential in the fourth round, I'm more than happy with that.
I mean, and like it feels like the Rams treated him like they were, you know, really nasty, you know, pardon my language, the B word. Be with
issues. Oh, you can cuss on this podcast.
Okay, they were really nasty bitches from high school that were like all the really horrible popular girls that were like, oh my god, you gained 5 pounds, you're not our friends anymore. Like, that's what the Rams did to Todd Gurley. So as a St. Louisan, I understand Todd Gurley's like, no, I am now bitter and resentful, and now I'm just going to go crush it in Atlanta, which I am all about too, back at his home in Georgia, because he's a bulldog. And he's going to be bulldogging all the way down into the end zone. And that just went soapbox. See?
Anytime I love it. I'll
take it.
I love it. I fully support it. I mean, again, there were so many times last year felt like where, again, I've been a big fan of him for a while now and wanted him on my teams. And I had him last year. And I think it was like Malcolm Brown stole like 2 or 3 touchdowns. Like you said, it seemed like they were just kind of like, no, we'll rest you. Don't worry about it. Like, it's like, no, he can handle it. You're on the 2. He can handle this. Like, he just has to fall forward.
Yeah, good.
Anyone you want to avoid, Garner, before we move on to the last segment here?
I mean, I think right now, as weird as it sounds, the Tampa tight ends, just because I don't know who to take out of that.
That's a like, really good
I almost think like a better version of their backfield, where it's, again, there's a whole handful of people. You got someone new coming in, and it's all a lot of good talent, but yeah, there's a lot of mouths to feed, and who's going to stay? Like, OJ Howard's probably going to get out of there at some point.
Please. Like, I love OJ Howard's talent and everything I hear about him. I pray to God he gets traded to another team. And like, only time will tell. And we've talked about Gronk on this pod before.
Yeah,
but
like, Rob Gronkowski isn't quite like hot fruit. Like, if Rob Gronkowski falls really, really, really late, I'll take him. Just so nobody else can have him and be like, yeah, I got Rob Gronkowski, Gronk smash. And then if he scores a couple touchdowns in that time, I'd be like, yeah, he's on my team. I'm not targeting him. Yeah. Not necessarily avoiding him like I would avoid hot fruit, though.
That's true. They're not quite hot fruit. I'm not willing to pay the price for them currently, but if they fall to me, then I'd be happy to roster them.
He's more like undercooked pie dough, like just slightly undercooked pie crust, totally edible, a little gooey. Would I prefer it a little bit further cooked? Sure. But I guess I'll take it. That's, but not hot fruit.
Yeah, it wasn't quite hot fruit, I guess. That's true.
Fair enough comparison for Rob Gronkowski in 2020. Well, hopefully he's not too doughy. I think he's still pretty lean.
He's lost like 30 pounds.
Yeah, and I imagine he'll be able to put it on pretty quickly too, but only time will tell.
I will give him pointers on how to do that. I'm very good at
Oh, I know Gronk knows how to party too, so.
Yeah.
The last thing we're going to cover here is our lightning round of rapid fire questions for you, Lauren. And we're just going to get right into it. What is your favorite sport to watch besides NFL football?
Oh, Garner, it's hockey. Go Blues. Stanley Cup fans.
I mean, go Blues, but go hockey.
Yeah, I know. See, I got my Stanley Cup. Those for you just listening, I have a miniature Stanley Cup trophy, and he's wearing his Chicago Blackhawks hat, and I almost used my St. Louis Blues cup, but I forgot it was in the washing machine, dishwasher, whatever it's called, that appliance.
Next question. Hawaiian pizza, good or abomination?
Hot fruit. Continue.
All right. Scott Fishbowl X, favorite toy growing up?
Cabbage Patch.
And Lauren is in the Cabbage Patch division for Scott Fishbowl X.
That's why I chose it. What? I'm a girl. I like them very much. Mine had like the big red braids coming out the side, even though I'm a brunette.
Oh, nice.
But it was my absolute favorite. And you know I have really favorite toys when I've destroyed every single one of them.
Definitely. Give us one streaming recommendation, TV or movie.
Okay, I've got two. And if you can't tell by all my food references, I've started watching a new program. First one, Ultimate Tag. The Watt brothers host it. They're all lunatics. This show is insane. And you're like, what are these people doing? It's nuts. Ultimate Tag is awesome. I think we have that on Hulu. Another one on Hulu that we're watching, MasterChef Junior. I feel like the most inadequate adult in the kitchen watching this show. I have laughed. I have cried. I have been jealous. I've been on the edge of my seat. I have been like, wow. And these kids are amazing. They're like 8 years old. And they're like, I'm going to add a sriracha foam to add some sophisticated texture to my blah, 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 whatever. I'm like, I don't even know what you said. Like, I have a degree and that was not English. What the hell is going on? Great show. I absolutely love it. It's fantastic.
See, I love cooking shows. I mean, I love doing like a little bit of cooking here and there, and I love the cooking shows, but the kids ones are always hard to watch for me. And just because, like you said there, where it's like the adult ones are like, okay, yeah, they've spent their life doing this. They're really good at it. And then there's like this little like 8-10-year-old kid on there, and they're doing all this stuff, and you're like,
I know.
Wait, what are you
doing? I don't even know what that is.
What? That's so much better. Like,
kids don't use Google when they're coming up with something off the top of their head. And it's like, I'm making a lemon basil cupcake with like a passion fruit Romulade. I'm like, what? Okay, because you're normal. No. Dang. Can you like, you know, go in my kitchen, please?
All right. Next question. What's the best purchase you've made this year so far, Lauren?
Ooh, my 2020 Chevy Blazer, my brand new baby Sophia. She's hot red, just like your hat. Oh my god, and fast. I like her.
Who is the first fantasy football player you remember drafting?
Tom Brady.
Awesome. If you had all the free time in the world, what's one hobby you would dedicate your time to that isn't fantasy football related?
I would finish my novel. Finally, I would finish my book I'm writing.
Tell us more. Whenever I hear someone writing a novel, I'm like, I gotta know the premise. I gotta know the plot, everything.
So it's, if you're not into it, you're gonna be like, this girl's a dork, but I don't really care. So it's a kind of a niche genre, if you will. I just wanted to sound cool, like the little kids on MasterChef. I don't know if it went over well. It might've sounded like hot fruit, but that's fine. But it's called Urban Fantasy, and it's a mixture of horror, comedy, romance, sci-fi, fantasy, all sorts of stuff. Usually written in first person, based in, quote, modern times, I'll say. But it's usually kind of a post-apocalyptic kind of thing. But there's magic. There's this. It's very fun. I did finish it, but I didn't like it. And I'm going back and reworking it. So I'm about fourth of the way through. I really like where it's going now, but I have like no time to write it. I feel like it's mostly just my journal now. I just write the journal and I kill things in my book because I'm frustrated. Like, that's what I do.
So when it comes out, are we going to be able to like pinpoint and be like, all of a sudden there's going to be a couple people that will be like, I bet she lost her match that week in fantasy football.
Probably.
She's writing this.
Probably. There's a character in there I'm naming after my neighbor. He specifically asked me to. And he really makes me angry all the time. And he is a crime lord in my book called Fat Joe.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. And he's staying that way. And he makes me angry because he says he's a football expert and like knows nothing about football.
Also, I'm sure maybe at this point we're going to get some exposition in one of the chapters of someone baking an apple pie, and Garner and I are going to be like, that's the hot fruit chapter.
It's the hot fruit. there are definitely Laurenisms in this book for sure. Although, no, I probably will never, ever finish this, but that's what I want to do. I want to finish my novel. Oh my God, I want to do it so badly, but there are not enough hours in the day and I need to eat.
Hey, George R.R. Martin's a multi-millionaire at this point and he can't finish his novels either. So I don't blame you.
There you go. I also don't have like brothers and sisters have sex either, which is also really awkward. So a little bit, I'm not that extreme on the sci-fi part. It's a little bit less weird.
But good to know. Good to know. So thank you again, Lauren, at Stepmom Lauren on Twitter, for joining us. Before we sign off, is there anything else that you want to plug?
Yes. Be positive, everybody. Just remember that, like I said in the beginning, we're all humans, we're all people, but you can really make just the biggest change in not only somebody else's life, in your own life, if you just start being more positive and be kind and be loving. I don't know how much more I can stress this. Mental health is such a difficult thing to talk about at all. It's a difficult thing to understand. It's a difficult thing to research. I go through my own mental health issues as well. I don't know if any, that's probably not that surprising. Listen to me go. But it's just one of those things. There's nothing in the world will ever be being positive and being kind. And you have no idea how much you may have just saved somebody's life or just pick somebody's energy, pick their life up just for 1 minute of one day. That's all it takes, a few seconds.
No, I love that message and that attitude. And again, it's one where, like you said, just that little bit of time can make such a difference because you don't know what people are going through or whatever. But sometimes just that little comment here and there, a little compliment, can just make them smile and lift up their day and just flip it around. And that's absolutely so powerful for such little effort.
Yes, it is so, that's exactly the way to say it. We feel powerless right now. And right now in these uncertain times, challenging times, whatever cliche words we've come up with all the things that are going on, the power that we have to make those simple decisions on our own for the betterment of others and ourselves is unbelievable. And all you're doing is making the world a better place. There's not hatred. There's not racism. There's not sexism, ageism, whatever ism you want to come up with. There is none of those isms in kindness. None.
No, very well said.
Very well said, Lauren. Again, this is at Stepmom Lauren, the first guest on Pod After Touchdown. Thank you so much again for your time spent with us. Really appreciate it. You can follow her at Stepmom Lauren. Check out stepmomlauren.com for all of her writing and podcast appearances. You can follow our podcast at podaftertd. Myself at Andrew Mackins and our producer Garner at Garnther. And with that,
the kick is good.